thank you for everything you're going to do. You are more than enough, Lord. Always, always more than enough. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God is good. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 9, verse 8. Psalm 9. This is the justice system of God, part 2. Aren't you glad you're the church?
Yes.
We're not just at church. We're not just playing church. We're not just going to church. We are the church.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their truth in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those you seek, who seek you. So we started studying last week. We know that God has a justice system. And even in a season of grace, God has a justice system. And so we're going to look at a little bit more of that tonight. Hebrews 10:30 says, and you know this, so, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people." So now vengeance here is retribution, vindication, and there can be punishment involved. But the word judge here is decide. Judge is not always bad. I'm being judged. That doesn't mean that it's always a bad thing. You could be judged the winner. You could be judged good. You have been judged righteous.
Amen.
Now and forever. Amen. So, but we understand that there are the nations of the world. And we understand that there are heathen people in the world who are not born-again believers who live under the law. If you're not a born-again believer, you actually are subject to the law, okay? Because there's no other, there's nothing else to live under. As soon as you get born again, you're out from under that thing. Amen. Okay, so this is just letting us know that we don't have to avenge ourselves. And, you know, you can choose. Every Christian has the right to choose. They can go the world's way and, you know, do all the suing with sue people and all that kind of junk. And it's just, that's simply just saying they don't trust God for their outcome. Yeah. Amen. They're just going to do it their own way. So, but God does say, and it's like paybacks. You got to watch out that you don't get into paybacks. That's not your job.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So, but God says two things. He says he'll repay and he'll judge. So we see here that God will bring retribution, or he'll pay you back, and he'll take care of the situation. He'll take care of it. And sometimes you just made the mistake yourself. Look, none of us get up and say, "I'm going to make a mistake today." No, we're not. But sometimes we make mistakes. And it, sometimes they're costly. And so, you know, we have a God who helps us with that. So, now remember, this has nothing to do with getting even with people. Okay? You get even when you give it over to God. Okay? That's when you get even, when you get it over with God. You forgive people, and then you leave it, and God will make a judgment on it, and then depending on what that person is doing, we'll see what's going to happen. Pharaoh had a hard heart. And every time there was a plague, his heart got harder. Right? So he was someone that wasn't going to go the other way. I mean, let's face it. You could have something, a Christian person could do something to you. But you're not necessarily going, "Well, get them, Lord." That's not what you're looking for. But that person, depending on if they're going to go out and play with the curse and play in darkness, they could reap what they sow.
Right.
But no matter what happens to them, that's not your responsibility. It has nothing to do with you. Your responsibility is to receive from God his payback. He's trying to pay you back and help you. So this is not about God punishing people with evil. He didn't do that. People sow seeds in life, get involved with darkness, and then they pay for it with a harvest they didn't want. And every one of us know that because we've all done it. This is about arming you with truth and giving you unshakable confidence in the power of heaven's justice system to protect and preserve and prosper and promote you even in the face of extreme testing. When you're dealing with one thing after another, you still have faith and say, you know what? God promised.
That's right.
Listen, it's always, life is always going to be our M.O. Faith is always going to be our M.O. And we're never going to blame God and say, well, he didn't come through. It'll always be that we lacked somewhere. We got out of faith. We got into fear. The sooner you're able to admit that in your life, the more your faith will work. Your faith will start working when you can say, well, that was a faith failure. I didn't do it. Amen. Instead of saying, well, you know, the doctrine of, well, I guess God is sovereign and he decided to do that to me. That's just diabolical. It just has no truth in it at all. Okay, so just to make sure you're getting the right picture now, because, you know, we want to make sure. We know, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. A better word for repay then would be recompense. You're getting compensation. It is not he'll go out and do paybacks on people. Once again, just making that clear. Although some of that will happen if they've been over in the devil's territory. Listen, you have the blessing wall on your life.
Amen.
Remember Balaam and Balak? He was trying to get the prophet to prophesy against Israel. He says, I can't curse what's been blessed. You're not cursed. You, by your own will, would have to get involved in that.
Yes. That's right.
Well, I'm not getting involved in it.
Amen.
Amen. So, you have this blessing. Church, the Holy Spirit wants to assume a greater responsibility for you in this world. And I think that's something that a lot of times we don't understand. He wants a new level of relationship with us, if for no other reason than to guide us through these demonic minefields. And if he knows how it is and how it's planned out, he can lead you through it without you getting into a lot of trouble, you know. You can miss a lot of things if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit. And remember, we talked about this before, vengeance operates by faith. God will not step in until we open our mouths widely and boldly. If you're gonna live in Psalm 91, you're gonna have to be saying it. And it can't be the memory of it. It's gotta be that you're saying it, you're eating it. Lord, I thank you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of you, Lord, you are my refuge. Thank you for your protection. But it's something that you're going to need to be saying. So, you know, every time we open our mouths boldly, we commit God to manifest boldly. Every time we're bold, he'll come in and be bold. Think about David speaking to he spoke to a giant and two armies. And what was the result of that? Praise the Lord, God delivered. So vengeance is God repaying you for the equivalent of anything given or done or suffered and to pay damages. I was telling you how one time an insurance company paid me for suffering. That's good. It's good that they did. Well, God's like that. He'll compensate you, but he'll even do it even better than how you were. When God restores, it's not just to where it was. It's better. So it's better than restoration. You get paid back, you get paid damages. Now, let me mention this to you too. Colossians 1:12, go there. I want you to see this. You have to really get on the right side of this. You have to really, really watch out for legalism. You have to watch out that you're not blaming God for something. You have to really get an understanding of this. And sometimes this stuff will creep up on you and, you know, you want to have the attitude, just kill them, God, you know. But that's not how this works. Okay. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, we have a heritage of protection then. Yes. We're divinely protected.
That's right.
So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you will not be assaulted, molested, hurt in accidents, or even harassed. That's how your life should go. Now, what's that take? Faith to believe what I just said. Your life is redeemed from destruction according to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit sealed you against the work of the wicked. Well, why then has it been happening to me? Because you lost at the game of life because you weren't in faith about it. It's before you had enough knowledge. People are perishing for lack of knowledge. They don't know that they have to participate in these promises, that they have to believe something, they have to say something. Amen. A lot of people, well, we don't have to do anything. We're saved by grace and that's it. Well, you know what it says? You're saved by grace through faith. So you have to have faith in that grace. You have to have faith in what God said he would do. He said he would protect me.
Right. That's right.
And I'm going to have to say something about it. All right. Now, so we have that protection. And once again, you have to enforce it boldly. Now, let's look at this area. We're going to look at a couple more areas here. Go to James 5, verse 1. This will be something that will help everybody. We've seen this a couple of times lately. We've actually talked about this. Talk about your finances in this area. That's a good thing. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to read the Amplified Version. Come quickly now, you rich who lack true faith and hoard and misuse your resources. Weep and howl over the miseries, the woes, the judgments that are coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and is ruined, and your fine clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. You've stored up your treasure in the last days when it will do you no good. Look, the wages that you have fraudulently withheld from the laborers who have mowed your fields are crying out against you for vengeance. And the cries of the harvest have come to the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, this right here, you may not have thought of this, but this right here is, hey, by the way, Sabaoth, I studied it out. We all say Sabaoth. It isn't. It is Sabaoth when you look at how it's spelled out in the Greek. Interesting. Because everybody could tell me, no, it's Sabaoth. Well, that's also look at the spelling of Sinai. It's Sinai. But, you know, praise the Lord. You say it however you want to, but we know what we're talking about. Okay. Philemon and Philemon. Yeah. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. So this is a prophecy about last day wealth transfer. This is a prophecy about wealth transfer. The wealth transfer needs to come into our hands. And I think it's real easy to get that. It's not just because, I'm going to say it like this. God's people should be rich because we have a world to win. And not only that, if your father's like the richest person in the universe, you ought to have some money too. Amen. That's covenant. That's covenant. I know the richer I get, the richer my child and grandchild get. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there's two cries here. The wages, the money's crying, and the laborers are crying, and they're crying out for vengeance. See, Satan wants to hold back your harvest on all the seeds that you've sown. He's a thief. He wants to hold it back because he knows what you'll do with it. He knows that you're a giver. He knows that you'll sow seed. And so he also knows he doesn't want you looking good as a Christian. Because Christians that have something that look good will make the other culture want to go, well, why is their life so good? They can pay their bills. They live good. They can do what they want to do. How are they going on those vacations? How come their house is so nice? How come if something breaks, it can the get it fixed. But then again, it doesn't seem to break that often. You know, they kind of start getting that picture of you. Why? Because you're God's kid, and they need to become God's kid. That's evangelistic in itself. Amen. So Satan's going to try to hold on to your money. But see, now, Lord of Sabaoth means Lord of Hosts. So Lord of Hosts means angels. So you actually have angels and angel armies enforcing Satan to release the harvest. But once again, they only hearken to the voice of God's word according to the scripture. They hearken to the voice of his word. So if you're not going to say anything, if you're only going to say, "Huh, I didn't get my money," or "I'm broke," or "I don't know," then they're not going to be doing anything. But they will work when you speak the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, I have enough of everything and I give to every good worth. Oh, she's got to have enough of everything. She's confessing 2 Corinthians 9:8. She says she has enough of everything. Hey, liberator, you better go liberate some more money. She says she has enough of everything. She says she could give to every good work. See, so they're moving on that. Do you know there's a scripture that says not to provoke your angel? Okay, praise the Lord. So if you're not speaking God's word over your finances and your harvest, you know, I would venture to say that this is the number one reason why we don't have our money, is because we'll confess over it for a while, and then we get lazy about it, and we quit doing the confessions over it, we quit talking the word over it, and then we'll get back on it, and the money will flow again, and then we quit doing it. And why did we do that? Because it's a lot easier to work smart than hard.
Come on.
Because the word is clear. If you give, it shall be given to you. Jesus said it. Red words rule.
Amen.
If he said it, and I don't think that was just to the Jewish people. I think that was for us. If we give, it's a law. It's been a law throughout this whole Bible. It's been a law back into Genesis, way back there. Amen. So anyway, praise the Lord. To cry in this verse means to make loud utterance, to protest or opposition demanding immediate action. So I had a little something come up, and a mistake was made, and I had to give up a substantial amount of money about a week ago, and I kept saying, "I want my money back. I want my money back." And lo and behold, over half of it has come back already. And I fully expect the last 1,000 to come back in. 900. There's 900 left of it. And I fully expect it to just come right back in. Because I'm not letting go of it. He's not keeping my money. He's not stealing it from me. And he's not stealing all my other seeds from me either. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I win. All right, Satan tries to convince you that you don't deserve. There's another thing right there. Now, you know you don't deserve it. You know you don't. You've been bad. Remember what you did. And then you don't want to demand because you're kind of like, well. Or you could be religiously humble. False humility. Well, you know, I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord. I don't need any. I just love the Lord. If I was going to give you something and you loved me, you'd take it from me.
Absolutely.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know people mean well, but they're being selfish about that. We need to receive our harvest. Well, you know, well, I've messed up with finances. Well, I think by now you know the answer to that if you've messed up with finances. Go to the courts of heaven and plead the blood. Admit it and quit it. That's all you have to do. Now, you're being legalistic there. No, I'm not. I'm not being legalistic. You have the power to change how you're doing things. And you say, "Lord, I apologize. I didn't handle this money situation right. I know you forgive me. I receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. And I plead the blood and I declare things go well for me." Amen. You know, I know people are like, well, I don't know if we need to repent anymore. Well, go ahead and don't, but I'm going to. Because repent means to change your mind. And I understand Jesus has totally forgiven me forever. I understand that. I'm totally forgiven, but I want to apply that to my life, appropriate that to my life. So I'm going to recognize, hey, Lord, I messed this up. Thank you. I know you forgive me. And now I'm moving forward. We're going to talk about that on Palm Sunday a little bit more. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a grace day. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to get our harvest in, so plead the blood. Listen, you can learn to be a good money person. If you're not, you can learn to be a good money person. The Lord will teach you how. And it's not about giving everything away. It's about giving your tithe. It's about giving offerings. It's about paying yourself. It's not all about being fearful that you get off your budget. Mm-mm. Sometimes you're going to get off your budget. Listen, if you've been really bad budgeting, stay on it for a while. Just do it. Stay on it for a while. But then you'll get to the place where you know when you can do a little something. You'll know when you can. You'll start understanding that. What I'm talking about is chance taking. Listen, that's what faith is. You know, some people are like, no, don't ever invest. Don't try to go out and do anything. Hey, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It'll do you some good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Deb and Tracy liked that. Thank you, Jesus. All right. It's a good thing. Have y'all read it? That's a good book. Because it's all about not putting all your eggs in one basket. You learn to do a lot of different things, and you won't go down because you know how to do some stuff. Amen. All right. When you do start cruising down the line the right way, there won't be any condemnation to bother you. That feels good, doesn't it? That's a good reason to live morally right, isn't it? Because then you don't have to go, Lord, I know I don't do this right. Well, just, you know, it's a lot easier just to use that grace, the power of that grace, to do things that are right. Amen. So now lastly, I'm going to give you three reasons why we need vengeance, okay? Number one, vengeance brings supernatural breakthroughs. See, Israel would have stayed in bondage if the plagues of vengeance didn't come. They had to come. God's stuff is always bigger than the sorcerers. Remember how Aaron's thing ate up all their stuff? And praise the Lord, that was good stuff. But they weren't going to get out of there unless the Lord went in and said, you're not going to do this to my people. And so these things began to get released. Okay? Different type covenant then. You know, different flow then. But this is actually, had they all been God's people, there'd have been no harm to anybody. Because their lights were on in Goshen. Everything was good in Goshen. Right. Church, I need to tell you something. Life is different for the Christian. Yes. Well, doesn't God love everybody? Yes. But if they don't want Him, they're in another realm. They're living in a dark world. They're living with another God. They're living in another place. He can't help them. He's a God of faith. And I'm talking about being a born-again believer. There's a difference. A lot of people were raised in these churches where they thought, well, if you just believed that God exists, then you were saved. If you just believed that Jesus exists, that you were saved. Thank God we were raised up in the Baptist church where they told us you must be born again. And so we understand that you had to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So don't go around telling people if you believe, then you're saved, because you're not. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I think they believed, but did they confess with their mouth? Did they have the change? At 9 years old, I felt myself change because I believed in my heart and spoke it out my mouth. We dealt with people all the time and said, well, I don't know when it happened to me. I've just always believed in Jesus. Well, then you better get saved. I'm not trying to be mean or hard. I'm just telling you, there's a way to do it, unless you just don't want to believe the Bible. Well, praise the Lord. Vengeance brings supernatural breakthrough. You know, Esther received vengeance for the Jews, and if she hadn't, they would have been wiped out. Thank goodness Haman hung on the gallows instead of Mordecai. Here's the six-second soundbite for you. Divinely orchestrated events happen when you proclaim your vengeance. Divinely orchestrated events happen when you proclaim your vengeance. In the name of Jesus, I declare I am avenged. Avenged me, Lord, like Mordecai of old. See? Amen. Now, he'll handle it. You don't have to go for the gallows, but he'll handle the rest of it. Number two, vengeance empowers believers to make an uncompromising stand against evil and injustice as they establish God's kingdom wherever they're sent. So when forces try to stop you, you have a promise that God promises to execute for a judgment upon all forces, invisible or visible, that's resisting the full expression of your redemptive rights. Now you can plainly see here. Look at this. How plainly can you see that the church has not worked with this?
Oh, no.
Look at the stuff that's been passed in the government. You can plainly see we haven't exercised our rights. We're doing it now. And that's what's happening. We're voting. We're praying. Now, we're a different church than we were in the 60s. In the 60s, it was like, well, you know, world peace and we love everyone. This has nothing to do. We're not haters. We do love everyone. But we love what's right and we love to do it right.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, y'all just think you're better than everyone else.
No.
We're blessed.
That's right.
It's not about thinking we're better.
No.
It's about thinking that we know who we are, though.
Amen.
Amen.
Vengeance empowers believers to make an uncompromising stand. Can you think of someone who did that? How about Daniel? They said, don't be praying. You can't pray. You're not going to be able to pray to anybody but the king. He opened those windows and prayed. How about the three Hebrew children? They did not bow, and they went into the fire, and they came out without smelling like smoke. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. How about the Apostle Paul? He had some stuff, a sorcerer, another messenger of Satan, got bit by a snake and a shipwreck. I mean, it was just a list of stuff. But he came right on through. Amen. Vengeance is mine. How about Peter? Angel came and let him out of jail. I bet there's some people praying right now that the angel would show up and walk them out of jail. Amen. It's good to be out. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I bet Peter was glad to be out of there. All right. So, we have these redemptive rights. Christ has redeemed you from the curse.
Yes.
Period. You have rights. You have health, peace, prosperity, protection, blessed marriages, happy families, authority, and dominion. Those are all your rights.
That's right.
You get to have that. Church, get what I'm telling you. Holy Spirit wants to assume this role with you. He wants to partner with you, and he wants to be responsible for you in this world. He will lead you and guide you and talk to you and warn you and give you the wisdom you need to do what you need to do so that you stay there within the covenant boundaries and you're not out messing with Pookie and them in the curse. The Apostle Paul made it very clear why we live a good lifestyle.
That's right.
It's not to earn God's love. You don't have to earn God's love. He loves you. You don't have to earn your righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you forever will be. You are forgiven. When did Jesus die for your sins? How long ago? Over 2,000 years ago. So how many sins did he die for? All of them. He died for everyone you'll ever do. Well, I don't know about that. Well, I don't think you can see anything else in the Bible but that.
That's right.
He paid and you are forgiven.
That's right.
But you could still get in trouble. If you couldn't, we'd all just be floating around all the time. You can still go out there. That's what holy living will do for you. It keeps the enemy off your back. It's the enemy who accuses and condemns, not God. God's not doing it anymore. He said, I have wiped out, I've blotted out your transgressions. Now you write on that chalkboard what you want me to think about you.
Hallelujah.
It's basically what he said. Tell me what you want me to think. Lord, I'm your faithful daughter who'll do anything you make clear to me. I'll just do it. I'll just do it, Lord. See, but you have to, you're going to have to tell him what you want. Vengeance. Avenge me, Lord. Avenge me in this, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Y'all receiving this? So we do right, we do it right because it's right, and because we don't want the devil, the accuser of the brethren, trying to put condemnation on us. That's one reason. The other reason is because we love Jesus. And the other reason is we love people and we don't want to hurt people. And one day, self gets out of the way. You get enough word in you, self will get out of the way, and you'll realize it's not all about you and your desires and what you want to do and your fears and your lust and whatever is that, and you'll realize, you know what, I'm not my own. And that's not captivity. That's not bondage. That's freedom. It's freedom that I'm not my own. It's freedom that Holy Spirit will tell me everything I need to do. That's a whole lot easier than me laying awake trying to figure it out. You know, when I found the Word and Faith, I never struggled again with feeling like I wasn't free. When I found out God was good and that he wasn't causing all the trouble, I already knew something about grace. And then I learned more about grace. But when I began to understand that this is a good life, I'm doing everything I want to do. Last night I drank all the whiskey I wanted to. I don't want any. Cynthia went, whoa! I smoked everything I wanted to smoke. The only smoke going on was our neighbor was burning a trash pile last night. I don't care about all that. I'm living the high life.
Amen.
It's good to be in your right mind.
It is.
Thank you, Jesus. Because you don't know when you could get called on. There's been times I've been at home and you think, you know, in the world you go, well, I could relax. I could, you know, people might do whatever it is they do, but I don't have that privilege.
No.
My privilege, and I don't want it. The privilege is I could get called out any time, and I better be me, the same me at home that I am here.
Amen.
Number three, last one. Vengeance guarantees the completion of your assignment and that you will reach your God-ordained destiny. That's good, isn't it? You know, Moshe, he's a good example. He got to where he was going. But you know who the one I really, 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 really like is? Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Because old Herod, he was going to kill him. And they got ushered out. And while they're out, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, you don't see God going down there and hammering Herod, but what you see is Herod got so lifted up in pride. Remember that?
Yes.
He was to the point where he was like, I want everybody to worship me. I need to be in the center. Just let me be in the center of everything. Yeah, he's in the center of everything, and he went right on out of there. He fell over dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, and then what did the angel, went to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph and said, you can go back home now. You can go fulfill your mission because the ones who try to kill you are dead. President Trump, you can go right on now.
Amen.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you don't like President Trump, you just forgive me and go on. But I think that God's using him. I don't know anyone who loves that mouth, but that's none of our business. What I like about him is he's done what God ordained to happen there. And that's mix everything up until everybody's, ah. Amen. Christians, you can rise on up now and minister over the world because that socialism is dead. Well, you sure are bold. How do you know some of us don't think that that's God? Well, if you do, you're in the right place. We're going to help you with that. That is not what God made America to be. Our founding fathers told us we were going to be a republic, that we were going to have a constitution, that we were going to be a free people, that we were not going to pay for everybody to have education and big pharma and all that stuff and Medicare for everyone and all that kind of stuff and see everybody's going, whoopee, won't that be so much fun? And then you only get 25% of your check. That's the devil. And it's never worked in the whole world, ever. It's not coming here. I'm telling you, it's not coming here. Now, the reason I can say that, I'm not trying to be political with y'all. I'm just telling you the godly thing about it. And if you like it, that's your business. But I'm just telling you, you're wrong. It's going to hurt. It'll hurt people, church. It'll hurt people. We don't want to hurt people. Why do people want to come to America? It's freedom. They can own a convenience store. They can own a nail tech place. They can do all these things that they want to do. Praise the Lord. You can be an owner of something. Because it wouldn't just stop there. They'd start telling you what you could do with your children after a little while. And what you could do in your home, you're right. Now, can you see why I'm preaching on this right now?
Yes.
Because we need to call on our wealth transfer. We need to be praying for this nation.
Yes.
We need to be praying for all the people that we love that believe this stuff. We need to get them right information. And we need for the political machine behind all this, each individual to, man, I want them to be saved. I want them to get real truth. I'm not wanting to crush them. I want them to get light.
Right. Amen.
We're not haters. But we can sure hate that behavior. Praise the Lord. This is what I believe. We're in a scheduled time of vengeance. The devil has been using spiritual forces to humiliate, persecute, harass God's people. He wants to keep them from their inheritance. But you're not going to defeat him in the natural. You understand that? You won't. Only faith and those who are empowered by the Holy Spirit will defeat him. We're dealing with his intellect, and he has a machine running with people who believe lies. Okay? Our God is bigger.
Amen.
And we outnumber those devils. The angelic forces outnumber the demon forces. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We have angel armies, but we have to enforce them. You're delivered from the curse. What God has blessed cannot be cursed. The Holy Spirit will execute justice if you'll speak his word. So I'm going to read you some scriptures here. Isaiah 61:8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery with a burnt offering, and I will faithfully reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Here's 63:4, for the day of vengeance against the ungodly was in my heart, and my year of redemption of those who put their trust in me, the year my redeemed has come. Zechariah 2:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory. I like this one. I like this one a lot. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Now, apple means pupil. I'll read it like this. Then the glorious Lord, all powerful, ordered me to say to the nations that had been raided and robbed, and that had raided and robbed Zion, Zion is as precious to the Lord as are his eyes. Whatever you do to Zion, you do to him. And that's a great word to enforce your vengeance with. Church, faith is the only way to execute this benefit. I declare that you use your faith to overthrow, and all the evil forces, to overthrow everything that needs to be overthrown, all the evil forces that are trying to rob you. And as your pastor, I declare and decree that your days of being robbed, afflicted, harassed, depressed, and promises delayed are over in Jesus' name. Expect only that which is good from this day forward. Amen. We just keep that in the right perspective, we'll be all right. We're not mad at people. God is good. He can't help himself. It really is who he is. That's really him. You're like, well, why did he do what he did in the Old Testament? Well, it has something to do with translation. There's some things that he gets blamed for that it's translated that way because King James did it. And also, you need to understand that they did not have a revelation of the devil. They didn't. Jesus began to revelate to them about the devil. He began to teach them. It's the thief who steals, kills, and destroys. Because they were under the impression, well, the Lord will kill you if he needs to, you know. Yeah, and you also have to understand, too, that because they were under different dispensations and under different, particularly the law, they operated totally different. But God, through the whole thing, was still good. There's a scripture, and I might read it Sunday, that says, I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody. God said that. He said, I'm not into that. That's not what he wants to do. He is a good father. But he's like you. You only get close to someone who'll get close to you. You know, that's the way it works. You can't get close to someone if they don't receive you. Amen. Let's stand up. I have already tasted and seen that God is good. How about you? Amen.